Welcome. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I am your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about the greatest wealth transfer in human history. I'm talking about the This is a real number, Gregory. $30 trillion worth of wealth is going to be passed from the baby boomer generation to their heirs in estate planning. And not just in money, but in property and whatnot. The greatest wealth transfer in the history of civilization.
I am already seeing it happen.
So we'll talk about that. And I found an interesting little list here. It's seven common words powerful people avoid. And the inference is that you should avoid them too. But out of these seven common words, I hear the president, the most powerful man on the planet, use them all the time.
Well, then I have my pad and pen ready.
If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. You can also reach out to us via the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Go to gregoryricks.com. A little chat window pops up there. We're on Twitter, at Gregory Ricks. We're on Periscope right now. What's our Periscope? Oh, yeah, at Gregory Ricks. See, we sit up all night thinking of these things for you. These clever names for our handles.
Yeah, I see your text. That didn't quite work out, did it?
No, that's fine. That's fine. We can try it tomorrow. Hang on now. So I want to start though with the historic march of the markets, because the question is, you know, there was history made yesterday. There's history made the day before that. There's history made before that. Did the Dow continue its winning streak? Yeah, but by a piddly 7.91. points.
A record day.
Hey, yeah, but really, don't we all agree here, especially in the financial world, a win's a win. We'll take it. Good job. Another historic finish there. Dismal the rest of the way around, though. Man, I look down and I see a 0.4% jump for the Dow, or a crawl, whatever you want to call it. So now the new historic high, 20,619 and 77 and change. But the S&P down just a smidge, 2.03 points. So it's down not even 0.1%, sitting at 2347 and change. And then the NASDAQ, 5814 and some change. It was down less than 0.1% as well.
Here's what it has to do once in a while. Take a breath. That's what today was.
Well, again, this is doing that same sideways thing that we've seen it do. I guess, would this be like the third time in the last year we saw it do this sideways motion? It did it right before Brexit because everyone was waiting for something to happen, and then it went sideways.
Well, this doesn't feel sideways. What is the Dow at?
An all-time high, but
20,619.
Okay.
The sideways was when it was trying to bust through 20,000. It'd get right up and then drop.
Yeah.
Get up against it and drop. It did that for a while. No, we have not seen sideways since it just went beyond it and kept going. We're at 20,619.77. Now, if we start meandering between 500 and 600 above the 20,000, we kind of keep hitting this 619, drop back to 550, 500, go to 620, 620, and we do that for a few, then you can call that sideways, but this just, in my sense, roared past it, and our technicals show that it's going to continue. Hey, we still have that correction on the clock. But with that said, nothing else is showing it. Everything else is kind of showing buys. This thing's going to keep going.
Russell took the biggest hit today, though, down 0.44%. And I'm seeing more writing about the continuing rally than about the specter of a correction. You know, once this thing just keeps winning and winning and winning, it's people are jumping on the bandwagon now. It's like a football team.
Let's see, where are these 10s at? 10-year Treasuries, interesting. It had hit like 2.5 yesterday. It was off 4.30 seconds. It's at 2.46%. So a little bit of money flowed towards Treasuries today. Yesterday they were flowing out of, and could have been that little pause, the little sideways look that you're talking about at the moment. Does that continue tomorrow? I would not expect a lot of volume and movement tomorrow. Why? We're going into a three-day market weekend. Markets will be closed on Monday.
For President's Day, is that what that is?
Yep.
Something
we
got to
acknowledge those guys.
See,
they
we
got us to where we are.
We in the corporate world, they have a trick that they use for New Orleans. They just scoot President's Day around to wherever Mardi Gras is. That's how they work it downtown. You know, we have to get our holidays off. And they've tried to not have Mardi Gras where everyone's off. Doesn't work in New Orleans. Doesn't work in Baton Rouge. Doesn't work in Biloxi.
What do you mean for so everybody's off? What? Explain a little further to our out-of-New Orleans listeners.
Oh, because Mardi Gras is on a Tuesday, and it shuts the whole city down. We couldn't drive.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's closed. It's worse than Christmas.
Unless you're a bar, a restaurant, or a paramedic.
Restaurants aren't open.
The ones on the parade routes are killing
it. Oh, yeah. There. Nobody else is.
I mean, you might have a couple of disparate grocery stores here and there, but, this place is miserable. A big chunk of the population gets the heck out of town for Mardi Gras because you're landlocked. And if you're on the wrong side of a parade route, like if you're between St. Charles and the river, you can't leave home for almost a week. From Thursday till the next Wednesday, you can't even leave.
You could feel like you're on an island because the parade routes don't allow you to leave. But where are you going except but a parade or out of town on that day? Really? Better go get your groceries the day before. If you say, oh, I'm grilling and stuff, well, you better go get them. You're not getting them that day.
The people I really feel for now that I've lived here for a decade, believe it or not, look, cops, firemen, they're used to events and special situations. It's the people that work in healthcare. You have to go to work. You can't get Mardi Gras off if you're an ER doctor. Someone's going to get hurt, and someone has to have someone to patch them up when they get to the ER.
Yeah.
Those people, they not only do they not get Mardi Gras off, not only do they have to work, but even, like, think about the people that work at Touro. You're between St. Charles and the river. How do you get to work?
Somebody still has to man the guard towers. One way to put it. Yeah. Even on Mardi Gras. Now, my team, I was up front in the office, and Dana was on the phone rescheduling somebody that called in and needed to reschedule a visit with me. And all of a sudden, she turned and gave me this look, and I was like, what is going on with that conversation? As soon as she got off the phone, she looked at me. We're off on Monday? You could see her lighting up because she just noticed it on the calendar. And somehow it glazed over a couple of weeks ago when we kind of covered this, how I was handling Mardi Gras this year. Because on Martin Luther King Day, I think, is a market close day. If it's not that, we got another holiday. And the markets were closed, but we worked. This Monday, the market's closed, so we closed the office. And I said, we've already made up that day that you're getting on Mardi Gras Day. Because it's not a holiday. It is in New Orleans, but that's the only day that the market is open and we're not.
I just love it when we had a new boss come in from out of town that was in charge of the whole building. And we were saying, no, we need to have Mardi Gras off. You don't want to swim up this stream. So she's like, okay, well, we can be off on Tuesday, but that's it. And then I was there on Lundi Gras that Monday. For people who don't know what Lundi Gras is, it's the day before Mardi Gras. You might as well shut down too. And I bumped into her. She goes, where is everybody? I go, it's Lundi Gras. She goes, well, we still have a full day of work today. That's all I did. I just laughed in her face. That's funny. That's fine. Oh, yeah, you've been here for, what, a month and a half? You have no idea what you're talking about. You're not even going to try this next year. Go walk outside. Go walk down the street right now. It's Lundi Gras. Go walk outside. Have you driven around town? Do you see everything's closed? Boy, they learn it the hard way. They try and fight it, too. All the outsiders, well, I'll whip these lazy punks into shape. This town, they just want to go out and drink in the street like that. We got business. This is how you get ahead in the world. While everyone else is playing, you're working. Nope. No, don't even fight it. These people are serious about their party. Yeah, I know. We got a nice little crowd already. Hey, how you doing? Okay, so crude oil in the positive, but just 6 cents up at the close. I don't know what it's at in the aftermarket price. I'm looking at $53.42 for a close. Talk about sideways. Oil's taking a nap.
Yeah, it actually has been going sideways, just trying to trade right in that range. I'm showing 53.42 as the last, so that's basically calling it flat. I'm gonna grab a 1 month chart and look at it. I'll even show you this one. It's kind of weird. That's 1 month right there.
Well, that looks spiky, but check out how much it zoomed in. The bottom is 52 and the top's 54.
Yeah, it's actually looked spiky, but it's a very narrow range of a buck, buck and a half.
So what you're showing here is for the last month, the price of a barrel of crude oil has stayed within a $2 window.
That's
for
the,
2 months.
That's year to date.
Okay, so
right
for
there.
6 weeks it stayed in a $2 range.
Now we'll skip to 1 year.
Oh, now
you see it since December, beginning of December, it is just a sideways move. That's it right there. That's the best looking chart to show you that.
That's a very cool chart. Exactly 1 year ago, the price was $40 a barrel. Now we're sitting at, what was that, 53 and a little bit of change?
Yeah.
Boy, where's it going to go from here? You would think it would have to go back down. We're still having supply going up. We're not seeing drawdowns on some of our stocks. That OPEC boondoggle, it'll come undone. Don't worry. The production cap, Gregory. Yes, we're at record levels, so we're going to pause it here because we don't want the supply to get out of hand.
And gold was slightly off today. Gold, we're showing last trade at $1,239.80 per precious troy ounce. Silver, $18.14 on the last. Gasoline's $1.74. National average, and you're saying, well, why aren't we paying so much? It's called taxes. You might
right.
be paying more taxes a gallon than the actual price of gasoline. A lot of people don't realize that. Oh, that's what gasoline is? It's like $3? No, it's actually a lot less.
Oh, man. And the government.
And we have what kind of roads here?
Oh, they're wonderful. It's like driving on a sheet of glass. It's like those little grids that Tron was driving on with his motorcycle.
I had somebody today tell me about driving through Lakeview. You know, those roads are horrible over there.
Yeah, you don't say.
I said, yeah, it stops the speeding through your neighborhood.
Yeah, it's a safety mechanism. That's right. So you ruin your shocks every 3 months. All right, we got a couple calls lined up. If you want to be after Lelia and Mike, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. James Parker here. Hey, do me a favor. Grab your phone real quick. Go download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. You can connect with the show. You can call the show or send us a text message. You can connect with the office. You can find our next Gregory Ricks live event. You can set an appointment. You can listen to our podcast, the previous shows. And if you're a client with Gregory Ricks, you can pop up your financial dashboard and see how all your accounts are doing in real time. Plus, there's no pictures of me. The Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Go ahead and download it right now because eventually you're going to need it. How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
First rule is avoid losing money. Rule number two is have your money making money when it should. Third is the return of your money is more important than the return on your money. So what are your exits? How do you get it out?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet our CPA, Jude Heath.
Well, tax season is what it is. Some folks come in and the tax year is already planned. On a going forward basis, there was some legislation that was put in that some of it can affect some of the listeners.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
And here's one of the simple explanations to consider doing a subchapter S. Okay, they're in a situation where it's all being passed to them, then it's going on the Schedule C, and you're paying the Social Security tax, and let's say you're ending up with $80,000 in income. Well, do a subchapter S entity, pay yourself a salary, you're being taxed on 50 if it reasonably pays your bills and supports your standard of living. And the other 30 is a K-1 distribution that passes along to you, and all you're doing is paying the income tax on that. You're not paying the payroll and Social Security taxes and such. That's one of the core considerations of doing a subchapter F.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory. Winning at Life on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back to Winning at Life. This is the Daily Wrap, where you can get your financial fix today for a better tomorrow.
Hey, real quick before we go to the phone call, this is Christina Ballerini. You know her?
Mm-hmm.
I love this song. It's been on the WNOE nonstop for a few months. She was on the Grammys, and she did a really cool duet with that guy. What's his name? Luke Graham, the Danish guy. Once I was 7 years old. That guy? Did you see that?
No.
Did you DVR the Grammys?
No.
Okay.
I skipped them this year. I was busy.
All right. You'll want to go back and watch that. You would like okay. that.
That's YouTube. Right.
Yeah, I figured you were a Christina Ballerini fan, so I thought you would have seen it.
No.
Whoops, I made an assumption there. Kelsey Ballerini, thank you. Thank you, Angie. Screwing it all up today, aren't
you? Hey, it's 504-260-0995 if you would like to talk about money.
Lelia in the West Bank, you're on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you?
Hi, how are you?
Hey there.
Hey, great. And you?
Yes.
How
Hello?
Can I help you? You're on the air live.
Okay, I just have a question about the penalty for no health insurance. I know that qualify all the people that file taxes, but talking about the immigration document, do you know who qualifies for penalty? I know that it's citizen, resident, but I'm not sure about the permission for work.
What are you regarding penalty? Is this moving money in or out of the country?
No, penalty for not have, when you file taxes and you don't have health insurance, and suppose that you need to be penalized for IRS.
Oh, yeah, I don't have health insurance penalty. What were you telling me about? Is that next year it's not going to be on the 1040?
But for the previous year, it's there, and some of them do have to abide by the rule or they pay the penalty. Some of them don't. Yeah, so it depends on what your legal status is, if you're a permanent resident or if you're temporary. And I think if you're permanent, you do, but I'm not 100% on that. This is me trying to recall stuff off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a permanent legal resident?
No, I have an immigration status for permission for work. For some tax papers, penalize this immigration status, and others didn't, so I don't know.
Yeah, I know that there's different rules for the HB1, the seasonal people. So I don't know your specific situation, so I don't think we can get you an answer today. But the question is, maybe you might want to find someone who can get that answer for you in earnest. But really, do you do your own taxes? Wouldn't your accountant know this?
Uh-huh.
Get an accountant and ask him. If you're doing your taxes yourself, You may stumble. Well, don't get someone to help you with that one.
Okay, perfect. Okay, yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, wish we were Thanks more
for
help.
Call.
Thanks, Lelia. Let's go to check this out. It's Mike in Picayune. You're listening to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you?
Hey guys. Yeah, got a question. Normally when the stock market's going up, the precious metal market's going the other way, but I noticed precious metals are going up too. What's the deal?
Let's see, where is this document?
Hello?
Yeah.
We're here. I'm just thinking, but one of our technicals show that it's positive for precious metals right now. And so we find it in favor. I've been holding GLD and a couple of these portfolio strategies for a little while. And yeah, we're a little bit negative, not where we were, but I'm just going to stick with the technical. And I think it's going to be a good outcome for the year. When you go back 12 months, it's a pretty good run up as well on gold. But I'm speaking of using it, of treating it like it's IBM or Southwest Airline or Boeing. If it's going up, we want to be a part of it. If it's going to start going back down, we might sell it.
Yeah,
this isn't a conversation about, oh, should I get some collectible coins or buy some gold bricks? That's a different conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I follow bullion. You know, I've been following it for years and years. Normally, when the stock market does good, you know, silver and gold usually go the other way. But I've been noticed lately that stock market's been doing really good, and bullion seems to keep climbing up a little bit. And I was just wondering, you guys got any idea why it's doing that?
Well, it depends on what monetary theory the person subscribes to, on what answer you'll get. So if you want to hear my whacked out worldview, the process by which stocks go up and precious metals usually go down means money is flowing out of precious metals into stocks because there's yield there. And when stocks are going down, you don't want to just sit there and lose money. So you go put it somewhere that doesn't lose value. So that's the exchange there. However, when you take out all other variables and you see them both going up at the same time, my theory is this is a monetary issue. This doesn't have to do with the financial world necessarily as much as it has to do with the Treasury Department and the Fed and deficit spending and quantitative easing and the printing of money and inflation. This is inflation driven. When stocks, it takes more of the same amount of money to buy stocks and gold. That means we have an issue with the money, not with stocks nor with gold. And when I say inflation, I don't mean when you go to the store, milk is now $6 a gallon.
Right.
I mean the expansion of the money supply, the amount of dollars that are circulating around there chasing the same amount of stocks and gold.
So
that's my theory.
Spreading it out right now instead of just keeping it just staying with stocks, people just spreading the money instead of
Listen, when they print all this money and they throw it out there, it has to get soaked up eventually into wherever it belongs, and this is gold and this is the stock soaking up the extra money. Does that make sense to you, Gregory? What do you think?
They're shrinking the money supply. The Federal Reserve has already taken $500 million off the books, and they intend to take trillions off the books. So the money supply is going to get shrunk. In one area, of course, the government on the other side is going to spend a lot of money and cut taxes. So they're going to be selling treasuries to cover that. So in their side, they're almost increasing it is what it really comes down to, because they don't have the money. So let's print it and sell it. You have the euro, which is basically gone dollar for dollar, where it was maybe twice what the dollar was a few years back. And you could have them, that could be their hedge out there. A lot of countries, what is the basis of their currency? It's the gold that they hold or the dollars that they hold. Up here on the screen, which you can't see, but I've got a chart going back from beginning of the year to present, and it shows meandering up and down. It's like ski slopes. But at the end, you're at a higher point about to jump off the cliff, because it's always a straight line on the last day. And that's a one-month chart. We go to a three-month kind of high slope down, and now it's sloped back up, and it's at a higher point than what we started off 3 months ago. We go to the 1 year, and we're lower at the moment than we were a year ago. Not by much. So I think we have upside to go, and just depending on what happens is you got money going to work, but you also, with Wall Street knowing this rare air folks can be hedging, saying, if this all goes to hell, I've at least got some gold as a hedge, gotcha. And they advertise it all day, every day.
I got you. Okay, so it's a good possibility gold's going to keep going up then, and if the market does crash, then gold's going to go through the roof then.
Well, hang on now, Mike. It's your turn. You said you've been watching bullion for years. What's your theory on why stocks and precious metals go up at the same time when that's not the historical standard?
Normally I see it going the other way, and that's why I couldn't figure out why it's both going up at the same time.
But you've got some theories working out in your head, right?
To go down. You know, that's what I've been holding off. I was thinking it would go down, and I was waiting until after the election to see what was going to happen. I thought, you know, that's my theory, was it was going to go down after the election, and it didn't.
Well, Mike, no, listen, your theory's beautiful. Look at the chart. When did the election happen, Gregory? Like the first week of November?
It went
down for a month and a half, and it bottomed out at the very end of December there before it started going up in the last week of December. You are absolutely right.
Silver and gold are back up.
Pardon?
Silver and gold are up.
Yeah, but we saw gold shed, what is that, about $170?
Yeah, it bottomed out about the third week of December and has been on a tear since. Not straight up, but it's, you know, nothing goes straight up. It's got to have some pauses along the way, but it's moving up.
And silver was down about 16, and now it's up to almost 18.
Yep.
So,
well, your prediction was right. It was just a short-lived correct prediction. Yeah, it did go down, but just for about 6 weeks.
So do you think it's going to stay, keep going up, or what? What do you predict?
I think, hey, remember, this show's for entertainment purposes, but I think a year from now, gold is higher than it is now.
And if it's not...
And I don't necessarily say a year from now, I'm just saying the end of the year. I think it's higher than it is now.
But I would say even if it's not in 5 years, of course it is. In 10 years, absolutely it's going to be higher.
What about silver? Do you deal any in silver?
I don't. Silver is a little bit more controlled by other parties. It's not as free market.
Yeah, it has industrial uses, and it's not merely a
commodity. Yeah, we've seen it act weird. We've been doing this show for almost 7 years, and I tell you what, and we talk about it all the time, we've seen some weird stuff.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
We're a very busy firm. It's kind of like going to a restaurant. What do you want to be, the only one dining in there for lunch? 20 tables and you and a couple other people are in there? Nah, I don't want to do that. I want it to be busy because I know the food's good and I'm getting high quality. And that's one thing about our firm is, you know, we're busy. We have appointments all day long, every day, multiple advisors. If you want more information about our services and fees, we have form ADV, and you can go to gregoryricks.com. Bottom of every page, there is a link for that. Or call the office, 504-832-9200.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Sharing has never meant as much as it does now. Everything is up for the world to see. But what if the sharing could be used to make a difference? The National MS Society is building a place where everyone can share their experiences for good. If you have a story, share it. If you have a solution, share that too. Because together, we are stronger. Join us at wearestrongerthanms.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Folks talk about fixed indexed annuities. Great financial tool in the right place, but they do have a surrender period. What does it cost me to get in? What does it cost me to get out? And when can I exit?
Gregory Ricks and Associates, the 401k and retirement authority. 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or gregoryricks.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Everybody's mindset is to be a millionaire at retirement because of inflation and lost buying power. Remember, in 1974, a Big Mac cost 75 cents. Is that some inflation or what?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10. News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lisa Lissera. The White House not saying much after President Trump's choice to lead the NSA after the departure of Mike Flynn. Robert Harwood turns down the offer.
What I would say is refer to the words of the president that he has strong choices out there, good options, and he will name a very strong candidate and a strong person to lead the NSA.
Special Assistant to President Trump Boris Epstein speaking to Fox's Martha McCallum. Flynn resigned Monday. Former President Obama's ex-campaign manager ordered to pay up for violating ethics rules in Chicago.
The Chicago Tribune reports that former Obama aide David Plouffe, a senior executive for ride-hailing company Uber in 2015, violated city ethics rules when he failed to register as a lobbyist after contacting Mayor Rahm Emanuel about easing regulations surrounding Uber's Chicago operations.
Fox's Jeff Benasso, Fox News. We report, you decide.
The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com.
You won't learn this anywhere else. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back to Winning at Life. This is the Daily Wrap. We do this every evening at 7 till 8 o'clock. Yes, this is live financial talk radio. We do it on Saturdays from 10 to 1. We call that Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. If you have a financial situation, maybe it's what to do about Social Security or how to create that pension-like income since you don't have a pension. Or it could be a discussion about C-share mutual funds. You always hear me talking about A-share to run from those. Well, those C-shares are kind of expensive as well. So the phone number is 504-260-0995. Email Gregory at GregoryRicks.com. So you know the website, GregoryRicks.com. And one of the greatest tools ever invented is the app. And we have a Gregory Ricks & Associates app. Two core apps you should have on your phone. iHeartRadio app for the streaming of iHeartRadio, and you can pick us up on that. We link it through the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, which has a financial dashboard, connection to the show, the Winning at Life tab, communicating with the office, keeping up to date on notifications, just tons of stuff. 504-260-0995. Give us a call.
The greatest wealth transfer in the history of human civilization will be happening over the next 30 plus years, 30 to 40 years. The baby boomers will be passing on their estate. And the total, what we're expecting, and this is kind of new for human history. The only people that used to pass on estates were the nobility. Peasants, you didn't have an estate to pass on. Here, you can have my pitchfork and this sackcloth I've been wearing for the last 15 years. But now, you know, it's modern times. It's 2017. $30 trillion in total wealth is going to be transferred. Now, that's not just financial assets. That's also real assets, houses, cars, stocks, things of that nature. $30 trillion. And it's gonna become a mess here because what's going to happen is now that we have more people with estates, we're going to have more people fighting over estates. We're going to have more lawyers that have to deal with these and fight these. We're going to need more judges. We're going to need more courtrooms. And what's going to happen is there's expected to be a pushback where a trust is now going to be the accepted norm on your estate plan, unless you're some indigent guy hanging out under the Pontchartrain Expressway, getting run off by the cops because it's All-Star Weekend. You're probably going to need a trust at some point. Is that overkill for the average person, having a trust to pass on their estate?
The average person depends on what their needs are. We had a discussion today about a new client, and one of her sons has a debilitating disease, receives assistance. She has quite a bit of money, so when she passes, this is getting spread to all three of the children, and probably for him needs to be a special needs trust. But also I would argue that probably for all of them, they need a trust, because all of this is non-qualified money, to simplify that process so it stays out of succession / probate and moves on how you wish. So when somebody has that kind of money, the cost is insignificant. Now, I'm not speaking of thousands of dollars. This probably can all get handled for under $2,000, depending on who you're using. You could use somebody to create your trust that costs you too much money. But with that said, we're very cost efficient because of volume pricing, so to speak. And this is kind of core work, not we're having to try to figure it out, learn what do we do. We have an estate planning attorney that focuses on this. So why shouldn't trust become more of the norm of that half that has assets? When you go to average of everybody, everybody shouldn't, because they don't need the expense and they don't have a reason for it.
And the thought process is, now that there's more of these already going to court and wills are getting challenged, and we're all seeing the legal fees are costing more than you would have got anyway in so many of these situations. These people are going through these. I just went through these. My dad just went through this. Half of my family, like I have a parental sibling that I will never see again for the rest of my life because of a contested will. Like, done. Not Thanksgiving, not Christmas, never. And what we're seeing is these baby boomers and even Generation Xers are saying, I don't want my kids to go through this. I don't care if they like it or not. This is going to be a trust. You can't challenge it. It also stays private. It doesn't go out in the public sphere. So if you have a big estate that's passed on and you can't figure out what went where, someone probably used a trust. So the fact that it's bulletproof, it can't be contested, it saves the family money, saves the family from being divided up, and the privacy issue is a big one as well. Trusts are becoming exponentially more popular than they used to be.
A irrevocable trust kind of keeps it private and offers more control, secrecy. The revocable trust, living trust, just gets everything moving through without going through the court process. And there's a reason for both, depending on what you need and how much assets. One other thing, annuities go by beneficiary designation. Qualified money goes through beneficiary designation. 401ks go through beneficiary designation. So you could argue why you don't need a trust, but you might need an inheritance trust because of the amount of qualified money that you have if you're worried about them going through the money.
So the next thing we see the next generation having to deal with, whoever inherits this from the baby boomers, it'll be a bunch of Gen Xers and it'll be a bunch of millennials. And now that one of the decisions they have to make is, are they going to stick with their parents' advisors? Now, we don't have enough data to come up with an answer yet, but there's two theories out there. One thinks that the Gen Xers will be less likely to stick with their parents' financial advisor, partially because of the way they were raised. They were latchkey kids. I mean, I guess maybe I should say we were latchkey kids. We had a lot more independence. you know, we used to ride around on a bicycle without a helmet. Oh, the horror, Gregory. We used to walk to the park by ourselves without a parent.
Walk to school.
Oh, yeah.
By yourself.
And it was like a mile away. Oh, my goodness. So we're a little
now
more independent.
You get dropped off right at the gate. They're doing a search, looking at your arms and legs. Have you been a bruise? Did you get a bruise since yesterday? Anything in your hair? You know,
yeah.
Look at the back. Got any bruises there?
And then
okay,
they
all good.
You.
We'll let you into the school.
So I see you've been to my kid's school. and now when you look at millennials.
What the heck would they say? See a kid by himself walking down a block, that crosswalk, come into school. Like, we can't let you in.
Call the police.
You didn't come
right.
with parents.
No, there's a handful of kids that actually walk. But you're not. What you're describing isn't far off. Now, the millennials, though, the thought process is they were not raised the same as the Gen Xers. Something happened in that little twist of 15 years to where they were raised by helicopter parents. They were not allowed to walk to the park at the end of the block without mama there. They were not latchkey kids. They got a participation trophy, and anytime they got on a bicycle and went out the driveway, they had a helmet on, Gregory. So they're more likely to be more secure in the comforting nest that their parents created. So, I mean, from a financial advisor standpoint, you may have a tougher time holding on to those Gen X inheritors. Wait, what's the proper word for that? People who inherit stuff? There's what's the word for that? Not the bequeath.
Hate it when that happens.
Yeah, I know. I'll think about it as soon as we go to commercial, too, and then I'll scream it at the people on Periscope. What's it called? Benefactors? Close enough. We'll take it. You're going to have a harder time keeping on to the Gen Xers as than you will the millennials who inherit money from their baby boomer ancestry. How about that? Is that right? Beneficiaries, benefactors.
You're saying they're going to go through the money faster?
No. I'm saying they're more likely to stick with the same financial advisor because, you know, they like to stay in the nest. They live with their parents until they were 28, Gregory. They're not as independent. They don't inherently reject their parents and what they've created. In fact, they're pretty happy living off the luxurious setup.
Oh, so you're saying
the
they
parents.
Won't move assets we manage to other places.
They will be less likely than their Gen X counterparts.
We find our firm is pretty successful in that, in keeping the assets. It just doesn't move away. We do find there is a mix in coming over to us assets. That there is a mix of some's going to come over and some do stay.
All right, we got one segment left here coming up. 7 common words powerful people avoid. And they think you should avoid them too, but I'm not so sure. Sounds like our new president uses a lot of these turns of phrases. That's coming up next. If you have a financial situation, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks & Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, download the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Yeah, we talk about stocks and all these different choices and where we think a bottom might be. And you have to be careful with all of your decisions and seek professional licensed help in doing this.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Hey, Raj. Happy birthday. How are you doing? Still feeling on top of your game?
No complaints.
Great. You've hit the big 5-0 now. Have you thought about talking with your doctor about some screening tests you need?
Screening for what?
High blood pressure, high cholesterol, colorectal cancer.
Jeez, that's not what I wanted to hear.
Hey, you have to know what's going on to stay on top of your game.
Visit ahrq.gov/consumer for a free checklist of screening tests for men 50 and older. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Stephanie from Dwell Nola Realty.
Yeah, well, real estate's a real personal thing to people. Everybody's pretty much involved in it one way or another. You know, a lot of times it's people that have investment properties that get additional income from the rentals.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
We see what's coming, and I always tell people, look, we're not going to be shocked one day and it's all gone. We're going to see it coming. We're going to have some insight of it. And look, trouble's coming. I'm going to start running ahead of the rest of you. Remember, and I'm very public, you're going to see what I think, hear what's going on, and if you see me running, don't ask. Just start running too, and then we're going to be good because we're going to have a heads up on what's coming. This government's not perfect, but hey, where else would you want to be? You want to be over in Russia right now, living there in that mess, or Greece? You know, we're kind of handling it.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Your wallet's favorite show, Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker, your home away from the show, GregoryRicks.com, and the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Go check out that sweet app. You look, go ahead and put it on your phone, because at some point you're going to need the help of a financial professional. And you will already have it there, and it will be at a moment's notice. It'll be like, oh, emergency, like when you need a ride and you already got Uber, you need a pizza, you already got the Papa John's app, you inherit an IRA, you don't know how this is going to work, boom, you've already got the app. Someone came up to you at lunch, tapped you on the shoulder, took you to the second floor conference room. They said, all right, here's your early retirement package. Do you want the pension payouts or you want the lump sum? Boom, you've got the app. So go get that sucker. Seven common words powerful people avoid, and I guess the inference is that you should avoid them too. This comes from Avery Banks' column in Forbes, Forbes.com. Some of these I like, though, and some of these I'm guilty of. Number one, very much so, the word just. The problem with the word just is that whatever follows it, the word just diminishes it. Like, what were you doing yesterday? I was working late at the office, right? What were you doing last night, Parker? I was just working late at the office. Sounds less powerful, doesn't it? Sounds defensive. Sounds like you're covering. Well, of course. What do you mean just? What else would you be doing?
Just.
Gregory, I'm guilty of that. I say that all the time. But it's sort of a protector word. So it deflects you from criticism if what you are saying is not agreed upon by the person you're talking to.
Let me ask you this. Is the word but, B-U-T, in this list?
The word but. I don't think that made it. Let me double check. No. No, the word but did not make it in there. In fact, I would argue but could be on the power word.
It actually is a power word because we were flying F-16s all day long, but we ran out of fuel. You know, but is what you, whatever you're talking about in the first half of the sentence completely changes the sentence thereafter.
Yeah, so that's the opposite. Just diminishes and weakens what comes after it. Good point. Maybe I should find a power list after that. The next one is they consider this drama words. So very, absolutely, totally. That sounds like something Donald Trump says every other sentence.
Do that again.
What? Very, absolutely, totally. Right. These are drama words. They do not add value to the noun. And when you're doing creative writing, you know, especially if you're writing commercials or I don't know. I used to do a lot of writing back in my school days. They tell you you should probably never use the word very, because if you're using the word very to modify some other word, perhaps you should escalate the word itself. So instead of saying I'm very tired or say I'm exhausted, instead of saying I'm very happy, I'm elated, I'm ecstatic. Instead of saying I'm very sad, say I'm destroyed, I'm depressed, I'm furious. Instead of I'm very angry, I'm furious. I'm a volcano. So I like avoiding the use of the word very, but not necessarily because it's a drama word. Is there anything wrong? But doesn't Trump say very, absolutely, totally? Doesn't he use these drama words constantly? Today, in the press conference, he escalated fake news. He used a term. He told the CNN guy, you're very, very fake news.
Very, very.
Yes, he said very twice. Now, number three on the list, I'm going through common words powerful people avoid. You should too. This is another set of protector words. I think, arguably, anytime you put a protector word like that, it's a lot like the word just, but it diminishes what comes after it. So instead of saying Tom Brady is the greatest football player of all time, it's I think Tom Brady is the greatest football player of all time. Because then it's a little, you're protecting your own little area here, because if I say Tom Brady's the greatest of all time, now you're like, I don't live in the world where Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. No, Joe Montana or Jim Brown or Walter Payton's the greatest of all time. But if I say I think, then it gives the person you're talking to the ability to diminish that. It's like, well, yeah, that's just what you think. The rest of us here in the real world realize it's Jim Brown or Walter Payton.
I think Tom.
You just said I think
Tom Brady is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but it is a different league in the past 20 years.
Wow, so you just pulled the rug out from under him. You said something nice about Tom Brady, but you just said...
And then I just changed it because we really can't compare him to the other periods. See what a powerful word that
is? Well, yeah.
And it isn't even on the list.
And it goes from him probably being the greatest football player of all time to probably not being the greatest football player of all time, because it's not a fair comparison. Now, here's some confidence words that you should avoid, that they say powerful people avoid. But again, I think Trump may be on half of this one. The phrase, I'll try, is too little confidence. The phrase, don't worry about it, too much confidence. So, and there's variations on these, but if you put something on there that says you have too little confidence, like, hey, where are you headed? You headed to the bathroom? Well, I was going to try to go to the bathroom. Doesn't sound like you're going to have very much success now, does it? That sounds like a horrible experience.
Going to try?
And then if there's too much confidence, where are you going? You going to the bathroom? Yeah, I'm going to the bathroom. Don't worry about it. What are you doing in my bathroom, pal? Like, what, did you have Poncho's Buffet for lunch? Is there something I need to know? So it totally diminishes an otherwise benign sentence, I'm going to the bathroom. I'll try to go to the bathroom versus, yeah, I'm going to the bathroom. Don't worry about it. I think I hear Donald Trump do this quite often. Believe me. Little too much confidence. Oh, no, we'll solve this. Believe me. We'll get the deficit under control. Believe me.
Mexico is going to pay for that fence.
Oh, yeah. Believe me. It'll be great. Believe me. It'll be very, very great. Believe me. Yeah, see, he's totally guilty so far of two out of four of these. He doesn't do the protector words. He doesn't often say just or I think or argue. Well, I guess he does kind of say I think and arguably. Well, maybe it's three out of four. Now, this next one, definitely not, this is not a Trumpian word. I don't even feel comfortable saying this word, probably because I'm a man. But apology words, first and foremost, being sorry. Angie, you're guilty of this one, our producer.
Always apologizing?
Well, just apologizing when it's not necessary.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, see, she does it all the time. Yeah. So if you're, the example they give is beautiful. Who wrote this article? She's great. Avery Blank, not bad looking according to her picture either, but Avery Blank in Forbes says, if you're late for work, when someone says, hey, where you been? Say, I was caught in traffic. Don't say, sorry, I was caught in traffic. because that's a tacit admission that you screwed up. I was caught in traffic. Could be your fault. Could be you left late and you got caught in traffic. Could be you left 15 minutes early and the traffic was that bad. It still at least leaves it up in the air, and you don't indict yourself by prefacing the sentence with sorry. I have a hard time saying that word ever, so I don't think I'm guilty of this one. I don't think Donald Trump's guilty of this one. How comfortable are you with your use of the word sorry?
I guess not so comfortable, but if I am sorry, I'll say it. Is that admitting you're wrong?
It is. It's implying you're wrong.
Well, when that does happen, I will admit it.
Well, I'm about a 50-50 on it. Even if I'm in the wrong, I have a hard time with it. I'm a piece of garbage in some instances. Okay, so the next one, they call this one filler words. And I totally agree with this. Absolutely. Very, very much. See, I'm using some other ones. Filler words, like, whatever, etc. I find a common word, it wasn't mentioned in the article, but the word that. If you write out sentences you say and you go see what you can scratch out without changing the meaning of the sentence, more than half the time you can scratch out when people say the word that.
It's funny. I was writing a piece this morning, and after I wrote it, I went back and eliminated words. I was like, what was I typing?
You are probably typing like you talk, because you just said, I was like, what am I typing? You would never write that sentence.
Exactly. So it was shortened quite a bit.
And what you find out, especially in the transition from speech to text, is how many of these words that you're saying, just so you're filling time so you can properly think of the next sentence and sound coherent at the same time.
Do you abbreviate in texting still?
Rarely.
I know. I'm like, catch myself still some, and I'm trying to eliminate that.
Yeah, that's not cool anymore, is it?
It used to be that's you'd have to figure out what everybody's saying, but now.
It was when we had the 9 or the 12 keypad where you had to do the predictive text or whatever. Yeah, abbreviation's a lot cooler. Now you got talk to text, and you have a whole other set of problems. Now you have homonyms being an issue. And the last one is superior words, actually and obviously.
Actually?
Yeah.
So, really?
Well, actually, this is the end of the show. Obviously, we're done here. You sound like a condescending jerk if you use those too much.
But we'll be back tomorrow.
Yes, and we will be very, very excellent. I'm James Parker, your home away from the show, GregoryRicks.com, and the Gregory Ricks & Associates app. This has been Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.